I mean, you're Catholic, right? Well, how do we start Mass? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's an affirmation of the Trinity. It's the most fundamental, it's the first prayer little kids learn, how to do the sign of the cross. Right? And so it's basic to us, not just basic, it's essential and fundamental. Now, is it easy to comprehend the Trinity? Absolutely not. Maybe you've heard this great story of St. Augustine. So he writes a fantastic work called De Trinitatis, of the Holy Trinity, on the Holy Trinity. It's a book all about the Trinity. And it's complicated because the Trinity is hard to comprehend. He relates a story where he has a dream. And in the dream, he's walking on a beach. And he sees a little boy who's running with a bucket to the ocean. He's dug a hole in the sand in the beach. And he runs and he grabs the bucket and he goes to the ocean and he fills the bucket up and then he runs back and he pours it into the hole in the sand. And then he runs back and he does it again and he does it again. And finally, Augustine asks, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm going to put the whole ocean into this hole. And he said, well, that's impossible. You'll never be able to do that. And then the child looked at him and said, I will put the whole ocean into this hole before you completely understand the Trinity. Are we going to completely understand this? No. And thank God for that. Do we need to engage it? Absolutely. So this is from the Catechism. This is paragraph 234. It says this: the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of faith. So it is essential for us to engage this. It's that important. So what can we say about that? What should we do? Well, first of all, this, that the dogma, and it's a dogma, it's not just like some nice teaching of the church. It's a dogma. It's essential. You have to hold this belief to call yourself Catholic. It is a dogma of the faith. The dogma of the Trinity is not something that we've come up with on our own. That some people were just sitting around and they have lots of time on their hands and they say, let's do this. Let's do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That sounds good, right? Three in one, right? It's not something that we just made up. It's a mystery that comes to us from God Himself. It's divine revelation. And it's God who reveals Himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. And that's always going to be beyond our small human understanding. And like I said, quite literally, thank God for that. Because if you or I could understand that completely, then God is really small. Because our pea brains are really small. God is always going to be beyond our understanding. That's the gift. That He's always beyond us, and yet He still entices us to come to know Him and to be stretched in our understanding and our knowledge of Him. That's the way it'll be literally for all eternity. So it's a mystery. And as the Catechism says, it's the central mystery of Christian faith and life. And we better get used to immersing ourselves in that mystery. But that's what we do as Catholics. Mystery isn't this unknown thing. It's this thing that's beyond our comprehension, that God invites us into, to immerse ourselves in, so we can be shaped and formed not by our own understanding, but by His understanding. Not by our own ability to conceive of something, but what God thinks. His truth, His love, His power, His plan. It takes us beyond ourselves. And that's why it's so good. Okay. So what then can we actually say? Let me keep it real simple and practical. The Trinity teaches us about relationship. The Trinity teaches us about relationship. So we begin Mass is you begin probably most of your prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One divine substance, the name, one name, three persons, distinct, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That right there teaches us something so profound that if we contemplated just that, our whole lives would be changed. Everything about us would be changed. Because what it's saying is this, that God, who is the source of all being, God, who is ultimate reality, God, from whom everything comes, is one, yes, and three. That God, who is one, is not solitary and not alone. That he isn't just an isolated monad, one thing, but rather he exists in a profound unity, yes, in the name, not names, in the name. But that unity is what it is precisely because he's in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That God is, from all eternity, a communion of persons. Which is to say that relationship is at the core of everything. Or to say it more technically, that relationship is metaphysically basic. Metaphysics is the study of being, that at the core of all that is, at the fundamental level of being, isn't just isolated oneness, but is a unity that comes about precisely through relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. Even the names, right? The names of the Trinity are relational ones, especially Father and Son. That, by the way, is why we shouldn't stop saying those names. There's a temptation to do that sometimes. Oh, because it's masculine. No, it's relational. Father and Son. That's how God wished to reveal himself to us. Those names emphasize relationship. So that's the foundation of all reality, because that's who God is. But here's the good news. And this is where it gets practical. If that's the foundation of all reality, it's also the foundation of our reality. Our reality is relational. Because everything God has done in revealing himself to us is actually for us. His revelation shows who he is, but it also shows us who we are. And all that God is doing, even now, even at this Mass, is to give himself to us so that he can draw us into his very life, to the relationship that is him, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're drawn into that through the sacraments. We're drawn into that through the prayer that we offer, the worship that we give. All of it is meant to draw us into who God is. And not just a cheap imitation, and not just from afar, but that we actually go right into the life of God himself. That's what grace is. It's the divine life. And what is divine life? Divine life is the life that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now you pray, okay, fine. All this is nice. Very good, Father Mark. But still, what does it have to do with my life? Remember that the Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. Faith and life. Faith, what we believe, and life, how we live. All the way back, first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, after our likeness." You see, we, you and I, we're created in the image and likeness of God, of the God who is Trinity, the God who is fundamentally relational, the God who is love. And that's our unique dignity in all of creation. No other creature has that dignity. We're the only ones. Other creatures can manifest some type of God's goodness, his power, his creativity, certainly. But we're the only ones who exist in the image and the likeness of God. It's written into our very human nature. And we're meant to live in that truth and that freedom and that reality of us being drawn constantly to become more and more like the God whose image we bear. That means we're constantly being invited to live our lives more and more relationally. St. Paul, and it's not just like to be a nicer person. It's meant to be completely transformed, that we're meant to be transformed by this life that is not our own life, the supernatural life, more than just natural human life, but supernatural life. That's why the second reading was good, from Romans 8. Paul says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Then he says this, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom we cry, Abba, Father." When Jesus is by nature the Son, when he comes to us as human, he builds a bridge. Across that bridge comes the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "It's better for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Spirit won't come." He sends the Holy Spirit to us. Who is that Spirit? The Spirit of adoption. Through whom, notice it's personal, it's relational, through whom we cry out, Abba, that is Father. Or, truthfully, a better translation of Abba is Dad. Well, brothers and sisters, you and I are meant to call God the Father, the creator of the universe, Dad. If we know that, if we live that, everything changes. If we know that God the Father loves you and me like a dad loves his precious child, everything about us changes. That we're loved. That we're loved. That reveals who God is for us. But then who we are. If we know that we're beloved sons and beloved daughters, everything changes. All the chasing that we do to try to fill the hole in our hearts where we don't believe we're loved ceases. Running after other relationships in this life, running after things, running after reputation, running after honor, running after success, all of it is a waste. And all that is unnecessary for the one who knows that he is a beloved son, the one who knows that she is a beloved daughter. That's what we're called to know. That's the gift of this solemnity, to rest in that blessing, to allow the Lord to reveal himself to us so that we can know who we are. And then, friends, a great consequence of that is if we know our relationship with God, and we know our relationship to him, we know ourselves, then we'll treat everyone the way we ought to treat it. Relationship with God heals relationship with ourselves. Living in that freedom, then every relationship gets properly ordered, every single one. That's why this is such a practical feast. It's such a practical dogma. We just have to learn how to rest in the mystery. You don't have to figure it out. And in fact, you won't. But here's the good news. The gift has already been given. There's no amount of prayer on your part that will make God reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself. He already has. And he's done it in the most beautiful way possible, by showing himself to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.